Hello, friends. Welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast with Megan Copeland and Kendra Bartlett. We are two best friends who live across the street from each other. We have a desire to see revival come in the Catholic Church. On this podcast, we talk about life and faith. We like to hear people's stories, but most of all, we spur each other on to live fully alive as Catholics. No more Sunday check the box Catholics for us. We invite you to come along on this journey with us and to let the Lord speak to your heart and enliven your faith. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the His Beloved Podcast. I'm Megan. And you guys, this episode that we have today, I have not stopped thinking about since we recorded last week. I just listened to it again to edit it, and I am all on fire after hearing from our guest again. It is maybe my favorite we've ever done in the history of this podcast. I have never heard so much about the power of God from one human being as we got to hear on this episode today. We have our friend Aaron on the podcast, and he is the husband of Mary Kate, the therapist we interviewed a couple weeks ago. And he has been a missionary at several different places around the country. He's done college ministry and inner city work with youth. And I have the privilege of getting to see him work with the teens of our parish. And let me tell you, he knows how to connect with people. And he knows how to follow the Holy Spirit and expect God to move. And the stories he tells us today were shocking. Some of them were absolutely shocking of what God has done in the lives of people that he has worked with. And it's just been him saying yes and understanding the power of God. And it will move you today to step out in faith and try something new. I hope that people like Aaron start a wave in the Catholic Church of relational ministry, of evangelization, of trusting in the power of God, because it's a great, great story. And he is such a testament to what God can do when we partner with him. All right, enjoy, friends. Hello, friends. Hey, Kendra.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello, how are you?
Good. So we have the other half of the Sowell couple family here today. We have Aaron Sowell. So if you listened a couple weeks ago, Mary Kate was on the podcast, and that was his wife. And we got to hear how you guys met.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
It was cool.
So sweet, yeah.
High school sweethearts.
Yeah. So cute. Well, and I said on the podcast last time that I wanted y'all to be separate because I was like, you both have so much to share. I don't want you to have to like split an hour.
Yeah,
and I don't think we even like had enough time for her. And
right.
I doubt we're going to have enough time for you.
Exactly.
So maybe we can do a part three.
Well, you just both have a lot
to finish.
I
mean, y'all's stories are beautiful and
yeah,
just so much witness to offer. So
yeah. So I met Aaron, I guess it's only been a couple months ago.
Yeah.
We are on the core team together for the youth ministry at St. Patrick. And from the first night I met you, I came home and I was like, Kendra, you've got to meet this guy. Like, how many times have I said, you have to meet him? You have to meet him. And everybody I've met since then, I'm like, have you ever met Aaron Sowell? Like, I've said it probably 12 times. I'm like, he has this amazing story and this amazing heart for teenagers and for the church. And there's just like a vibrancy about you and the way the Holy Spirit is like so alive and active in you. And I told Mary Kate that I've been watching what you do and like, okay, I'm gonna do what Aaron does. I think you need to give us all
that,
like a master class on
intentional discipleship.
Yes. And, like you need to give us a class on intentional discipleship because it's just naturally flows from you. But you also have this amazing story. So I was like, we've got to have, got to have you on.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Do you want to share a little bit about yourself before we dive in with questions?
So I was born and raised in Bryan College Station, Texas. I was born in Nacogdoches, raised in Bryan College Station. Parents split up when I was young, so I was traveling back and forth to Michigan. Fell away from the Lord for a little bit, came back to know him really well. I was raised Baptist, so I loved the Bible growing up. That was like my whole truth. And then I fell in love with the Eucharist at a retreat, and I went to the retreat trying to convert my wife to be a Baptist, and it didn't work out. And so here we are today, both Catholic and married, and just running after Jesus. So
I love that.
You've been married for 2 years?
Almost three.
Almost three. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So you're ready for some questions. So I don't have very many because I really just want to hear all of your story. I just want to sit back and relax and like
oh,
just
yeah,
hear
let's
you
do
talk.
It.
But the first one, okay. This is a Kendra original.
This is the moment where I get worried every single time. Like, there's no telling what's coming out of her mouth. When she says a Kendra original, okay. I'm concerned.
It's kind of weird. So, okay. There's animals on Earth that get a bad rep, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's animals in the ocean that are pretty cool that we don't get to see much of. So, okay. Which creature on Earth would you give the boot to the sea? And which creature from the ocean would you like to see walking around in everyday life?
Okay, that's a great question.
That's so funny.
I'm not a big fan of the ocean. You know, okay. Fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It is.
And so I would be cool if all the mosquitoes just like went to the ocean.
Yes.
I wouldn't need to go into the ocean, get stung. Like, yeah, we could just live
they
without
They could swim.
Them.
It'd be fine.
Yeah, and then go hang out
that
with
would
jellyfish.
Just change the game. Yeah, would change the game. And then fish on Earth. I think the one from like Finding Nemo with the big light on its head.
Oh, oh yes.
That'd be really cool to see those running around. Super scary.
Right. I was going to say, that one's terrifying.
Cool. You're camping and like, I need a light.
Right,
and
right.
It's like,
is that the one where Dory's like, you are my squishy and you will be my squishy and I will call you my squishy? There's like a scripture where the Lord is like, you will be my people and I will call you my people. And every time I hear that, I think, Dory, you will
you
be my squishy.
You should make a shirt with the fish and the light and say, you will be my
I think
people.
They said that at Mass last weekend and I just like laughed to myself.
That's so funny. That's so funny. That's a great answer. Could you imagine just like seeing a jellyfish like down the street or something?
Jellyfish are so pretty, but they're also, they hurt so darn
they're
bad.
Mean.
It's not fair.
I know, it's not fair. Okay, so give us a synopsis of you through music genres that you listen
ooh,
to.
Ooh, like your life.
Life story.
And life music. Story and music.
And music.
Well, I was raised on jazz.
Yeah?
So like, as a child.
That's cool.
And my grandfather, he played trombone, and so he would play some trombone while I was out by the river, and that's a big memory for
that's
me.
Cute.
And so, love jazz.
I love
just
that.
Love it. And then in high school, it was probably just like the craziest music you can think of. Like, I was just kind of doing whatever was bad in my life. I just ran after it. Mm-hmm. And so, maybe some like metal. I don't think I've ever actually listened to a full metal song, but like, maybe like that.
Okay. A little rebelliousness?
Yeah, super rebellious okay. for okay. sure. And then once I met Mary Kate, it's just like the angelic hymns, you know? It was just great since then.
I love that.
That's sweet.
That's awesome. What kind of music do you listen to now? What's your go-to?
Jazz. I listen to some like R&B. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are my two go-tos.
Yeah, you said cool. You always tell the teens you listen to rap. And that gives her him immediate
buy-in.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah,
yeah. If you can smell like the sheep, you should.
Yeah.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yep.
So you mentioned when you met Mary Kate, there was this angelic sound. But she told us a story of like, you were going to go to college and begin your time apart, which
right.
y'all had a lot of time apart.
Yeah.
And you said, you know, I'm not going to break up with you because I see myself marrying you.
Right.
What about her? I just want to make her blush as she listens
yeah,
to this.
For sure.
Just let's love on Mary Kate for a little bit because she's so spectacular. What about her at that time? Were you like, yeah, for sure?
Well, I think at that point in my life, I had just come back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I was like, I'm done with the party lifestyle. I'm done mm-hmm. with like all of these things. Like, I want to be in relationship with somebody and actually grow toward the Lord with them. And she was this awesome Catholic girl, which I didn't like the Catholic part at the time. Sure. But she actually had a relationship with Jesus. And so I was like, man, like, this girl is awesome. She's beautiful. She's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves Jesus. So like, why not? You know, why not jump on board with that? And then she said she wanted a summer fling. And I was like, I just don't think that's going to work for me anymore. You know? So like, can we please talk through this? And she was like, yeah.
I love that.
You had your head on your shoulders. That's a big deal.
Really?
For a high school senior.
I don't know. I don't know if I did, but I was trying to. I was trying my hardest.
Especially after a reversion like that. Like, what brought you back to Jesus after you?
So I can give you all a better story.
Yeah, give us the whole shebang.
Okay,
we want to hear
so
it all.
Whenever I was a kid, around 3, my parents split. And my mom moved up to Michigan. My dad stayed in Texas. And I was at the hearing. My mom didn't show up. And so I was supposed to just stay with my dad. And so that was pretty unheard of at the time in like 1998 or whatever. And so since from then on, I was the judge that I would go to Michigan for summers and often on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And around 8 is whenever there started to be some abuse and some like physical, mental and verbal abuse toward me. And it continued on for a while with like scars to prove it. You know, it was just like not not the best time. And so I decided, because in Texas, Jesus was so real. Like, my mm-hmm. parents preached about Jesus. I was in Awanas memorizing mm-hmm. Bible verses mm-hmm. by the age of 5. Like, I was the classic Bible Belt kid, you know? And so whenever I was in Michigan and there was no God, no church, and I was being, like, in a way, just traumatically, like, experiencing this world, mm. I was like, if God's not real here, then he can't be real there either. You know, like constant prayers of, like, where is the Lord?
Yeah.
And so I played it cool with my parents and was like, yeah, I'm still a Christian kid, but I was sneaking out pretty much nightly to go to these fraternity parties at A&M.
Wow. And this is in high school?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I look like I'm 45 now. I looked like I was at least 21 then. So yeah. It worked out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the lifestyle just went further and further with alcohol and drugs and mm-hmm. Treating girls like they were objects and all of that, and thinking I was living the coolest life in the world,
right.
Thinking that I was living what the world has to offer. I was trying to consume that. And so after that, I ran to church with my parents one morning. I'll never forget one of my best friends. He walked up to my parents and I after service, and I knew that there was a retreat that weekend, but my parents didn't, and I wasn't going to tell them. I just wanted to party it up. Yeah. I didn't want to do it. He was like, hey, there's a retreat this weekend. Will you come? And I was like, yeah, I guess so, man. Sure. And my parents were like, yeah, we'll pay for it all. And I was like, why did you do that in front of my parents? He knew the lifestyle I was living, mm-hmm. and so he did it on purpose, and he told me that mm-hmm. later on. But mm-hmm. I went to that retreat, and there was a guy on stage who basically in the middle of his talk said, like, hey, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z in a person. I feel like the Holy Spirit's, like, calling me to talk to you.
Wow.
And X, Y, and Z was me.
So it was like prophetic word. He just called you out.
I stood in. He was like, after this, can you please come and talk to me? And then he just kept on going with his talk. I started crying, went to the bathroom. And at the end, whenever I heard the clapping, I was like, you know what? Let's try. It was a big stadium. How's he going to find me? I stood in the back in a corner and kind of in a shadow. I thought I was in the clear. And he was pushing people aside as he was coming down the stage, like saying, hey, I'm not here to talk to you right now. Let's talk in a minute. And he just was like looking around, and then he just made eye contact with me and ran up to me. And he was like, hey, I think the Lord has something for you. I think he wants to absolve you of your addictions. I think he wants to, like, be in your life. I think that he has a plan for you. And he prayed an absolution prayer over me and prayed that the Lord be made known to me. And in that moment, I felt the difference in addiction. I felt the difference in the change of my stony heart being crumbling away. I just started bawling, and I wasn't a crier. I didn't cry. I didn't love. None of those things were part of my lifestyle. It's not allowed. And so I started feeling love again in a way that I hadn't in 4 years. And that night I went outside and got on my knees. First time I'd prayed in years. And I was like, Lord, like, if you can make me feel this way, then, like, I'm ready to give my life to you.
Wow.
And he said, come. He said, come. And so then I became a missionary. And I was working in Florida and in New Jersey and Detroit doing inner city and college ministry. And, yeah, it's the best time of my life. I'm actually feeling called back into ministry now.
Are you?
Yeah. I just started a new business last year, and I went to a retreat, and the Lord, like, was like, hey, man. Like, the mission's back. Like, we're here again. Like, I need you to come back into mission with me. And I was like, oh, no. Like, what does that mean for the business? So that's where I'm at right now in the ministry line. Like, I'm going back in and trying to find a place to stay. So that's where I'm
at. Like, back into actual mission.
What does that look like? What do you mean? What's your business?
I'm like, don't leave.
Yeah, no.
Sorry,
I don't plan
that.
On going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm looking at ministries in town. But, yeah, I mean, for me, it means that my business is going to go on the wayside. It's going to be kind of a part-time thing, and I'm going to be a full-time minister or in ministry again in some capacity. Not sure where. I'm just kind of following the will of the Lord in that. I've always been one, after I reconverted, to just say yes.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the hardest thing to do sometimes. I mean, I spent probably 2 weeks last month just being like, Lord, why? Like, why now? Like, why after all this time of building something? But I really feel like the Lord was, like, getting us to plant our roots, get really good networking connections, and now it's like, hey, come back. Like, it's time for ministry again. So
that's good. That's amazing. That's exciting.
Oh, my goodness. Excited. You just said so much, though. I'm like, my mind is a little bit blown. So Kendra and I have been learning about, they call it power evangelization in Encounter School of Ministry. And it's exactly what happened to you. It is like hearing the Lord's heart for someone and then speaking that to them and then inviting the Holy Spirit to just impact them in that moment. And I mean, what would be more impactful than for someone to not only just hear about God, but to experience him in that moment? And it's like the way he chased you down.
Yeah.
When you have an experience like that of him, it's hard to ever walk away from that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you ever leave that? Yeah. Right. I mean, I know it happens and people do, but like just having that moment of knowing how deeply loved you were by him and like sought after, like that, God, that's an awesome story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I was talking to somebody recently about like, they were talking about fear of the Lord and like what that means.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can only explain this from my experience, but it feels like the fear of abandonment, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like I have a fear of abandonment in my life with my mom leaving and things like that. And like, it's with the fear of the Lord for me, it's like, I never want to stop holding the hand of my Father who will never leave me. Mm-hmm. You know, I never want to turn away from him. I want to be on my knees worshiping, facing the throne in heaven with him. And I can't wait for that, to be able to sing praises to the Lord all day. And so it's like, this like embodiment and encompassing of this fear of the Lord that I just want to be next to him all the time.
Oh, you know? I love that so much. Cause it's almost like that encompasses the wonder and awe piece of it. Like, I just want to be at your feet and honoring you. But I've never understood the fear part. Like, the fear has always thrown me off, but like for the first time, it makes sense to me of like, I don't want to know what it's like to live without you.
Right.
I never want to be in a place where I'm not seeing your face all the time.
Right.
Like, I know what it's like to live with you and I'm never going back. Yeah. Like, I always want to be near. I love that. That's really cool. Thank you.
That's really cool. Tell us some like highlight stories of your time on mission like in Chicago, any inner city Chicago, right?
Inner city Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Kind of where Eminem, near where Eminem grew up, right?
Eminem grew up,
What were some of your experiences or like big moments where you just saw God move.
For the people. There in Detroit, it was probably one of the hardest mission fields I've ever worked in. Mm-hmm. Just like it was in the midst of a lot of spiritual attack from the world on that community.
Detroit is struggling and has been for a while.
I mean,
it's a painful.
In the 70s and 60s with all the fires and everything happening, their slogan in the inner city of Detroit is "We will rise from the ashes." And It's happening. You see a revival happening there, but it's a slow progress. But I had a lot of students. We did a youth ministry there in Detroit, and I had a lot of students that would come, and I would take them home or however they needed to get home, like walk them there with another leader or whatever we needed to do. And I'd see the state of some of their homes and just like tarps for roofs and some of them like not knowing where their next meal was coming from, and like seeing true poverty in America, like I had on maybe some mission trips out of country. It's just so real, you know, and it's so hard to kind of be around and like see the providence of the Lord in that for those kids, especially. A lot of their questions were like, I don't have a roof. Like, where's the Lord? You know, like, I have Cheez-Its that you gave me for dinner tonight. And I don't have any other food. Yeah. I don't have running water at home or whatever it may be. And it's like, golly, like I can't do it.
Yeah, how do you answer that question?
Right.
And so that was definitely hard. But I think some of the best stories from my ministry experience kind of were from the factory, which was a mission that me and my friend started in Bryan College Station for the college students at A&M. It was all about just like shadow ministry is kind of what we called it, where it was like, we are not proclaiming the gospel at these meetings. Our job is to have a missionary team that is going and finding the people that come for free food, live music, and good vibes. That's what our business card said. To like find those people there and enter into a relationship with them and just see the Lord work through that and like talk to the Lord about, when should I bring up Jesus? You know, like when is that, should that happen? And there was a group of Wiccans and Satanists that started coming that loved poetry, and we had open mics every other Thursday, and so they just loved coming and doing an open mic. And we were actually asked, me and one of the other people at the house that we were doing it out of, they asked if we wanted to come to a black mass. And at the time, I was very Baptist still, and I was like, black
okay,
mass.
So this is before you were a Catholic,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, black mass, what are we talking about here? What does this mean? And other Catholics on staff, they were like, oh, that's messed up, you know, it's not okay, it's not cool to do. They told us the time and location, and I was like, hey, I want to go. I don't want to go inside, but I'd like to go and pray over the home. Mm. We know where it is. We know what time it's starting. And so we went, and four of us just were in the car, just raising our hands toward that house and just praying against the evil one, praying that the Lord come in power. And then we left. You know, we didn't think anything of it. Didn't see them for another 2 weeks. But 2 weeks later, they came, and the two that asked us if we wanted to come turned out that they were kind of like in charge of this sector of where they're at, this diocese, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, can we have coffee with you and Emily? We really want to. We were feeling weird at that Black Mass. We didn't know what to do. And we're like, sure, yeah. And we went to the coffee shop with them, and I was talking with them, just being like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, how are you feeling? And they were like, you know that at Black Mass we invited you to? Well, we just felt like this weird presence, like something we've never felt before, and this guilt that we've never felt before. And are y'all Christian? And I was like, yeah, we are. And they were like, can we learn more about Jesus? Can we understand more about why he's sovereign? Because I think that we felt some of that. And we were just like, absolutely. And it turns out they became Christian. Like,
wow.
Oh, my goodness.
They like are attending church now. It's like amazing. Yeah. And there's nothing that I did. And that's the beautiful part about ministry is like, I am just a vessel for the Lord.
You're just partnering with the Holy Spirit.
I'm just partnering with him. Yeah.
You called the kingdom down over darkness.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? And so you shifted the atmosphere in there. So you did do something.
Sure.
By faith.
Yeah.
Knowing that the God you serve is bigger and mightier and more powerful than anything they could ever do there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anything they could ever summon. Mm. Just by sitting in a car outside with your hands raised, like proclaiming Jesus over that space.
Mm.
And you were brave enough to go and sit in the car too.
Yeah.
Like that in and of itself is a big step. When you said the word Black Mass, I immediately was like, ah, like, I don't know.
Most people are.
I don't know that I would have I would have the bravery to do that. But, and it's like an understanding too of like Kendra said, like knowing the power of God.
Yeah.
Mm. Like I know that this God can shake anything.
Mm-hmm.
So my prayers, inviting God to come and be active and present in that place can make a difference. So you did do something, but obviously it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and
it was all
saying yes to him.
I give all the glory to the Lord.
Totally.
Yeah. You're the conduit, right?
Yeah,
you're the conduit.
But I think that's been like a big part of our mission for this podcast is inviting people in to say, I want to partner with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I want to say yes to what God's calling me to. Even if that means I step out and do something that feels terrifying, I'm going to trust that if he asks me to do it, he's going to take me there.
Amen.
And he's going to do all the heavy lifting, and I just get to say yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you ever read the book Do What Jesus Did?
You would love
it. Okay. It's so good.
Who wrote it? I can't remember. You would love it.
You would love it. We're reading it for class for Encounter School Ministry right now, and he's not Catholic, but that's okay. But he just tells stories of just going into places and just bringing Jesus, like converting gangsters. And
yes,
it's hardcore, amazing stuff. And it just,
I've only read like two chapters, but I immediately thought of you when I was reading.
Yeah.
I was like, this is Aaron's life.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there reading this and I'm like, I want to go do these things. But who do I go with? Where do we go? What do we do? You know, I'm still kind of like sheepish with it, but I feel this just like stirring up inside of me. Like I want to go.
Well, and the cool thing about the story too is,
let's hit the
again, I'm only
together.
Like two chapters in, but he at the beginning talks about how like he never lived a life like this. Like this was not, he didn't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Mm. He was just very like mundane living, you know, I work for the church and I do the church job and I'm
he's playing it safe.
He like was very safe and very like monotonous, like just, and then this woman called him one day and asked for prayer. Mm-hmm. She had never like stepped foot in a church and he was like, I don't know how to pray for people. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know how to do that. And she needed healing for her dad who was about to have like open heart surgery. And he was about to hang up because he was like, I don't even know what to do. And the Lord just like invited him to pray for this guy. He didn't know what he was doing or how to do it, but he did it. And he even afterwards was like, I just gave that woman hope. What the heck was I doing? Mm. I just basically I lied to her. Like he didn't even feel it in his heart. And then the guy was healed.
He got a like on the surgery table.
Oh, that's what it was.
A new heart and new lungs.
They
like,
opened
they
up.
Didn't need to do anything.
They opened up his heart or opened up his body and his heart was healed.
Wow.
And he was like, well, okay, maybe there's like, okay, Lord, I guess there's more to this than I thought there was.
Yeah, because he had been, you know, praying for healing, but I think going through the motions of like, yeah, I can ask for healing, but he's not going to do it. You know?
Right, right.
And,
yeah.
And this was just another one of those moments. But then God was like, no, let's go.
Yeah, let me prove
it. Let me just wow you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I just want to all day hear stories about how God wows people. Because it's happening. We just don't see it as much. Yeah. Like we're not tuned into the stories and getting to hear it all. Like, oh, that's amazing. Okay. Yeah,
that's
tell
really cool.
us more.
All right. Yeah, I got another story for y'all. So while I was a minister at Seton Hall University in New Jersey.
Is that a Catholic university?
It is,
okay.
Yep. I think Ann Seton is
Okay. Was this post Catholic conversion?
Okay, wait, let's go back for a second.
Okay, let's
so you were doing ministry in Bryan before you were a Catholic.
Correct.
So how old were you at that point?
I was like maybe 20.
Okay. And then you went to Awakening, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, tell us about
and
that.
Then
and
we'll
then
go
tell us
into
yeah, so Aggie Awakening.
We're like way too excited.
Yeah, I the big story there was I was going to convert my wife to become,
which is also why I went to Chirp.
No,
to prove
really?
Chad wrong,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's something to that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's whenever you're really seeking for answers, sometimes you find the ones that you don't want,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So at that
truth
retreat,
truth, yeah.
I remember kneeling on the ground and there was a Eucharistic processional. The whole time I was gathering so much insight on how I could destroy my girlfriend's faith in the Catholic Church. And
so kind of you.
Yeah. I mean, just I wanted to
ammo.
Obliterate it. Yeah. And he was walking around with like the robe around the monstrance and everyone was bowing and touching the robe and crying. And I was like, this is baloney. I don't think that this is real. And I was like, but I'll try, you know? And so I was like in one of the last rows. He finally got to my row. And as I reached out to touch the cloth, I heard a voice of the Lord say, you are unworthy. And I was like, what? I'm unworthy of this piece of bread, Lord? Like, what are you, wait a second. What are you talking about? Like, that is nothing. That's supposed to be insignificant. It's not supposed to be anything. It's not supposed to be the blood, soul, and divinity of Christ,
right.
You know?
Because you're looking at this monstrance as just holding bread.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was your mindset.
Yeah. And so at that point, I was like, okay, so if this is real, then what else is, you know, like what else is real? And so I went in like this deep dive of research, talking to priests, going to spiritual direction, like really diving in and trying to figure this out. Cause I'm much more of a logical thinker than a spiritual thinker sometimes. And that can be to my own detriment. But I mean, I logically thought it out and it all lined up. It all made sense.
It
and
does.
I was like, dang it.
Dang
now
it.
I have to go. And tell my girlfriend that she was right and I was wrong. But yeah, we just took it in stride after that. I started as an SPO missionary straight after. And
what's SPO?
SPO is St. Paul's Outreach.
Oh, yeah. So Outreach is the one that goes and does outreach on the streets, right?
College campuses. It's just like Focus.
Oh.
Just the Focus is more on the like small group side of things and SPO is more on like the formation side of things.
Okay, I think I'm thinking of the evangelization,
well
St. Paul evangelization.
Oh,
street
okay.
Team thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love
right.
them though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So
you did college outreach then.
Yeah,
that's
college
cool.
campus ministry. And, you know, I got in trouble a lot in SPO because they really wanted like more numbers and like maybe the church ministry or whatever it was. And I just could not get myself out of the completely lost side of ministry, the actual like evangelative side of ministry,
like the slow work of community building, getting to know someone
relationship.
And relationship
and I mean my favorite spot, and all the ministers that were there with me could tell you that I would go every night and I'd get one drink, I'd sit at a bar with like one beer, my goal was to not buy any more, just slow sip it all night, and I'd put a pack of cigarettes out because at Florida State they smoke those kids smoke. So if I had a packet of cigarettes out, kids would always come up and ask me, like, hey, can I bum a cigarette? And
so
I'd say, yeah, if I can have some of your time, I'd love to talk with you. And so we'd get to talking. I'd set up a coffee time later on that week, and I'd go and talk to them about Jesus, you know? And
what
so,
would that little conversation look like? Like,
it was just like, what are you doing tonight? Oh, you're trying to get messed up. Okay, that's cool, man, I guess. Like, what else? What are you doing this week? Like, what are your hobbies? What are your favorite things? Like, everything about them. I don't tell them much.
Yeah.
Just, like, tell me more about you. I tried to dress like a college kid, even though I looked 45. But, I mean, the kids would still, like, they would always come up. They would always say yes for a free cigarette. And they would always be down later that week. Yeah, sure, let's do something. Let's hang out. Let's grab a beer or something like that? And I said, sure. And so
I'm so bad about thinking of questions to ask.
Me too.
I get so up in my own head.
Sure. Me too. Like, yeah.
That I think is a skill, to be able to just ask someone questions, let them open up their lives and their
heart
to you.
That's why small groups terrify the tar out of me.
Yeah. But you know, so in college, we were not missionaries by any stretch of the imagination. But Chad and I, Chad lived 4 hours away from me, and he would come to Denton and we would hang out and stuff. And it didn't matter where we went. By the end of the night, he would know everybody.
Yeah, he's really good about that.
He was really good about it back then. And there was like a group of fraternity boys that lived downstairs, and we went to a fraternity party one time. And you know, like, usually a different guy comes into a fraternity party, they're automatically like kicked out. Well, by the end, he was best friends with everybody.
That's of course great. He was.
And I was like, how do you do this? And he goes, I just ask them questions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I let them talk. Mm-hmm. And I make them think that I care about what they're talking about. Yep. And I've thought about that for the last 20
years.
It's
right
evangelism.
There.
I mean, he wasn't telling him about Jesus afterwards, but he was connecting on a, you know, a friendship level with him. And 20 years later, and I've been in ministry for who knows how long, and I still can't do it. I'm trying. I do really well when someone wants to share their heart. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, okay, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. But to just that beginning conversation, especially with teenagers, they're the hardest.
Oh, for sure.
Which is why I've been watching you like crazy, because I'm like, I want to know how funny. To do this. Yeah. All right, carry on.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I mean, I guess so after Florida State, I went to Seton Hall University in Jersey, doing the same ministry there. So I was like going to bars, making friends with people. One of the guys I met, he was raised Catholic, was no longer Catholic. Super cool guy. You know, I was meeting him. We talked for like 30 minutes after he bummed a cig out of the pack or whatever. And I was like, great guy. Let's hang out sometime. When do you have when do you have rec time, or like, when are you going to the cafeteria to get some lunch? He's like, Thursday. So I met with him on Thursdays a couple weeks in a row, and I just poured into the guy. Didn't talk too much about Jesus. Didn't try and say, hey, you should be a Catholic again. It was just like, hey, like, just tell me more about you. And I think a couple weeks passed. We hadn't met after those two times of eating lunch, and I get a call late at night, and I was like making dinner for the men's house. And it was that guy, and he said, hey, Aaron, I need help. I've done something bad. I think I've tried to commit suicide, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, okay, awesome. Stay on the phone with me. I'm driving to see you right now. Like, let's go. And he texted me his address. I ran over there.
Had he like taken pills or something?
There was just blood everywhere.
Oh,
he cut both of his wrists, and he was just in the bathtub. Called his mom, called the police. His mom was supposed to get there in 2 hours. She got there in an hour 15. I mean, she was flying. He was taken to the hospital, was given psychiatric help and care, and I didn't really see him much after that. Mm-hmm. And I would say probably 3 to 4 months later, he was in the cafeteria on a Thursday. And I was like, hey. And I like ran and just embraced him, and he embraced me, and we both started crying. Mm. And he was like, I didn't know who else to call, but you cared about me. You're the first person that I've met here that cared about me. And I was like, yeah, man, like, you're worthy of being cared about, you know, like, you're worthy of love and admiration, and you have somebody that feels that way about you. And he was like, yeah, I know that you're a missionary, and can you just tell me about Jesus? Cause like, after that scare, like, I don't know what's next. I don't know what to do. And like, if you have a heart like this, like, I want that too. And so he like went to RCIA and got confirmed and like is Christian now. And it was nothing that I did. Again, like, another story where it's like, I didn't do anything. It was all Jesus.
Yeah.
And like, just Jesus working through me and having me at the right time, at the right place, and me saying yes to meeting him that night.
Yeah.
It was all Jesus from then on, you know? And so I think that's the biggest part of ministry that I figured out while I was working on college campuses, was just like, my yes is huge and the only thing that matters. And then I just like am faithful in the Lord, you know, and that he can do this, and he can work through these people in a way that I can't. And he did. He worked through that kid just because I said yes to going over there, you know, and calling the cops for him. And it's just, that's what we're called to. I don't want to, I actually wrote this down this morning in my quiet time. There's a part of me that felt like I knew the word of God, but not the God of the word. And I think that if, for me as a missionary, like, if I can know the God of the Word, even if I don't know necessarily the whole word of the Bible, like that's what matters.
And, yes.
And like I can be a vessel in that, but no more. You know, like I can't do anything that he can. He's omniscient. And so just like seeing him work in that way in these kids' lives and in these adults' lives is just, that's all. All I can think
that's of. That's a powerful statement. I think that's true for a lot of like kids raised Catholic too. Like they know about God, but they don't know his power.
Right.
They don't know his heart for them. They don't know how deeply loved they are, how cherished they are.
Mm-hmm.
And like inviting people into seeing, and I think relational ministry is a big part of,
for sure.
Like your story is the power of relational ministry and following the Holy Spirit, right? It's like a both and kind of thing. So, because when you're in that relational ministry with someone, then they see that power working through you.
Mm.
And they're like, well, what's happening with him? And why does he feel different than anybody I've ever encountered before? What makes him different? Why do I suddenly feel like I'm loved by someone when I've never felt loved before?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that relational ministry piece, like we're starting to talk about it more in the Catholic Church, but we aren't successfully carrying it out a lot of times.
True.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's always been like my dream and my goal is like for kids and to know how deeply loved they are. And to go past that stage of just knowing about God and knowing who God is. Like that's when real transformation happens.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So out in the mission field, you know, I'm sure with the success stories or rejection stories, how do you not let those eat you alive?
That's a good question.
Stop you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they do, they make me, I think that the biggest thing for me right now that I'm like learning about myself and wanting more of from the Lord, I've been reading about Nehemiah, right? Like this man that had, he was not a preacher. He wasn't like a politician. He wasn't a leader in any way. But Jerusalem was in ruin and God chose him as a man that was weeping and on his knees daily and fasting for the Lord in anguish. And I think that something that ministry has taught me is like, in those failures, there's a time for anguish for those people. And like, that's the agony of God's heart. That's what he has for us. And I think that it's polite and right to take that on. It's good to take on that heart of the Lord in those rejections. Cause it's like, all I can do now is I planted the seed and I can just pray and weep for you.
Yeah.
And I can just pray that you are able to, at some point in your life, see Jesus and know him as Father, know him as God.
That's powerful.
I think in ministry, that's a big thing that you got to latch onto and run after is, when was the last time you were on your knees and weeping toward the Lord? You know?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Ever since we went back to doing youth ministry, together at St. Patrick's, I've felt that like I'm feeling this heaviness of like, these kids don't know you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just our church. It's the Catholic Church as a whole. Like I'm feeling this like deep sadness for the Lord of the Lord. Like I'm feeling part of his heart for these kids that don't know him. So that just really spoke to me. But I think it also allowing yourself to experience that then spurs you on for the next, the next encounter, right?
100%.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's really good. So tell me more about Detroit. You shared a story with us recently that I thought was pretty cool about a guy that reached out to you recently.
Oh, yeah. So, there was a guy who was running, who started running with a gang, and then he came to our youth ministry. I'm going to leave his name out just for safety's sake. But
that blows my mind right there. Hold on. I'm terrified of the kids that like live in suburban Austin youth ministry. Sure. And you're seriously like, they're scary, right? Like youth ministry is scary. And you're ministering to kids who are active members of gangs and who are not Catholic, right? Like these were just kids from all over.
Yeah. And this was a very ecumenical group. It was Youth Works Detroit. So it's very much so split between Catholic and Protestant, but it's just Christians living in faith.
Okay. The program itself is. Yep. That's cool. Okay.
Yep. And so, yeah, he was just, I mean, just a nasty guy whenever I first met him. And I hate saying that, but he was just like, just very angry. Bad mouth, angry at everything. Yeah. And I saw a lot of myself in him too. Mm. Just like, I mean, there was a time in my life where I was angry.
Yeah.
I hit it off with him, started talking with him, really getting to know him, just being like, hey man, like, why? Like, why are you coming here? Like, if you want to live that life, go live that life, dude. Like, I want you here. And, like, I love that you're here, but part of me also just wants you to do what you want right now.
What so drew like, him to come?
His was, parents mostly, I think.
Okay, the parents encouraged him to come to this program. Yeah. Okay.
And so he was like, well, maybe I will. You know, and I was like, okay, that's okay. I'm going to be really sad about it. I'm going to miss you so much. Mm. But like, you can't do both, man.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that. And so either like we still hang out, but like you maybe don't come to ministry, or like you come to ministry if you want, but like, you know, I'll let you just be able to be checked out. Like whatever you want, just tell me and I'll let that be, man. Cause I'm not going to change your life for you. Mm. And so after I had that talk with him, he was like weird around me for a little bit. And then finally one day he was like, hey man, I don't want to live this life anymore. Like I had a buddy that got pretty messed up recently. Mm. And I'm just scared, man. I'm just really scared. Mm. And I did this to make money. I did this to like live the life and be big and bad and be the man or whatever. But like now it's getting real. And I don't know what to do.
And he was in high school about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so he and I had, I left during COVID. COVID kind of shut the whole thing down and funding was pretty hard for a lot of ministries. And so that's whenever Mary-Kate and I moved to Texas. And I still had a communication with him. Like if he would call me after things in his life were bad, he wanted prayer, which was cool. That was awesome for me. You know, whenever you need me, man, that was like my open invitation. And then finally one day he was like, hey man, like I'm going through confirmation, man. I was like, no way. You're kidding me.
And this was just like a couple months ago.
And wow.
He is the happiest guy now. He is just full of joy, full of life. And it's like, man, like just the glory of God, you know, just like his providence for his people. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through. Like God is still standing at that door ready for it to be opened. And it's just such a testament to me to like, if I'm waiting in my faith, like what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, like if this kid can come and run after Jesus in the environment that he's in. Yeah. What am I doing? So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's cool? A testament to seeds that were planted.
Yeah,
it's a testament and to time. God the Father who was chasing after him, and you left. But I'm sure he still used other people around him. Like so many things that God used.
Yeah,
right.
To capture his heart.
Yeah,
that's
so powerful. And just by your yes, you played a huge part in that.
True.
In his life, that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, and you could have had the fear too of like, well, if I'm leaving, then what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. But it's like the Lord just continued. Like he doesn't necessarily need us, right? Like he can find someone else to pick up the pieces.
Right.
And I think that's really good for us too, as people who are in ministry, is to know that like, I'm not carrying everything. Mm-hmm. Like God has this and he's still pursuing him even when he calls me away to something else.
Yeah. God, and cool. I've been chewing on Hebrews 6 for a couple of weeks now. And part of it is seize the hope that is set before you. And just that word seize is such a strong action word. And I've just kind of been mulling over it, and for you to like even just to step out of that situation is still seizing the hope that is set before you, because you know that God is bigger, right?
It's having hope that it's okay for me to step out.
And knowing that like your yes is a big yes, but it's not the end all be all. Like God is the end all be all. He is bigger than anything we can ever offer, and our yes matters and it's valuable, but to seize that hope and to walk in that hope that he's going to capture their heart, even if you feel so discouraged that it's never going to happen.
Yes.
Mm. Right. And just to plow forward, like keep going, keep going. And
it's like seizing the hope and the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like your entire story is that it is knowing how great he is.
Yeah.
And then just partnering when he wants you to partner and stepping back when he wants you to step back and saying yes, whenever, and then knowing that you don't have to grasp and control and make and force, you just get to let him wow people.
Yes.
Like that's the way to live for the Lord. Like, and I think even for us who know that, like we know the depth of what God can do, we still have a tendency to want to grasp and to fret and to worry. And will this ever change? And do I need to do something? Am I but just to like remind ourselves and live in that power of who he is.
Yeah.
That's when powerful things happen.
That's when you go sit in front of a black mass in a car and pray. Like you're seizing the hope. Like,
yes,
God is
that
bigger,
is it. Right? Like that is the takeaway I think for all of us is like just to like to never forget the deep, amazing. Like, he can shake the ground under our feet if he wants to. And he does. Mm-hmm. And he can shake our hearts. And I just keep thinking about like, I know we have a lot of women who listen, who have kids who've fallen away from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
He is still shaking the ground for you too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He is still pursuing those kids. He has not forgotten them. Yeah. And spouses too. Yeah. Yeah. Like there are, I know a lot of you are in that place of feeling like you have to do something, or you have to change something, but just like partner with the Lord and be Aaron sitting in the car praying heaven and earth over him, and then let the Lord do what he does.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
My goodness, our church needs more of you. Like we just need to, gosh, I'm going to put a microphone in your hand every chance I get from now on, just so you know. Every time someone lets me, I'm going to be like, you need to hear from Aaron.
No, my.
You just opened up yourself for a lot.
Let's do it.
I'm just kidding. All right, so should we do what's God doing in your heart
now?
Do
we have time for something else?
Yeah, go for it. We got time.
Let's do it.
So I just feel something stirring on my heart, and we can cut this if we need to.
No, we're good.
You might want to. We'll see. but I just feel this ting on my heart for us three just to sit in silence and pray for our listeners and for the Lord's heart for them, and us just to speak prophetically and let's just see what happens.
Let's go.
Yeah. Okay.
Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just want to pray for anybody that's listening here that you're able to just pour out the gift of evangelization and the gift of ministry. Lord, we don't have to be in a church to be doing ministry. We don't have to be in a ministry to be doing ministry. We are called to full-time mission. And I just pray that we are all empowered and emboldened in your name and in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus to go out and preach the gospel, whether that be through relationship and whether that be through prayer for others or that be us walking up to someone and just preaching the word of the Lord, that, Lord, you just come in power. There is no renewal. There's no revival without you, Lord. And I just pray that you come in power with that gift of evangelization for your people.
Mm-hmm. So as I'm praying, I just heard the word car wash, and I just I've been praying into that a little bit, and I know I just get the sense that someone just is driving around with a very dirty car with the windshields covered in dirt, and they can't see, and like asking the Lord, like, what do you mean by this? And just the word confession came to me, and like, you've got to stop driving around in the dirty car, and it's just an easy car wash, and the Lord just is inviting you to a gentle car wash of your heart and your soul, and just to take that step to freedom, and to allow the Lord to just wipe away the hurt, the chains, the dirt and the muck, and he wants to just bring freedom to you through the sacrament of confession.
That's good. I keep hearing power. There's power in the name of Jesus. And he shared with me like that it's Holy Week when you guys hear this, and we get so wrapped up in the monotony of hearing that Jesus died for us and that he rose again for us, that we lose the meaning and the depth of what it meant for him to actually be nailed to the cross out of the deepest love we could ever understand and ever know, like more than our faculties could ever experience. And I just feel that there's some of you that have lies that are swirling in your head, and lies that you don't think you can ever overcome, and lies that you have begun to believe because you've heard them so much, that you're not a good enough mother, you're not a good enough wife, you're not a good enough friend, people don't like being around you, they don't love you, you don't know who you are, you don't mean anything in this world, and that he's saying he wants to nail every single one of those to the cross. That he is more powerful than any lie that could ever come at you, and that he wants to break them off one by one and give you complete and total freedom, and that this Good Friday, it all ends. And that when he rises on Sunday morning, you rise with him to fullness and newness of life. Mm. And you just get to run in the beauty and the joy and the glory of Easter morning. Mm. Thank you, friends.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. Okay.
Okay, I feel like we started something today.
Yay.
I feel like this is not the end of us doing ministry together.
Yeah.
Like,
good.
That there's, yeah. there's the Lord has more for us, and mm-hmm. the three of us as a trio of like loving his people mm-hmm. and inviting the Holy Spirit into what we're doing. And
amen.
Street evangelization, maybe?
Let's
I don't
go.
Know.
Preach it. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, guys. All right. What's God doing in your heart, Kendra?
Oh, I was thinking about it this morning. I was sitting outside listening to the birds and the
she
roofers.
Likes birds.
I like birds.
You're saying you like it here, birds. And he goes, I like those birds. And
yay.
I was like, you sound like Kendra.
And just reflecting on some things that have come up and like what obedience is and what are the where's the black and white of obedience?
Hmm.
And so he's, I'm just in a place of just trying to really listen to him with that and trust him. And so he's showing me things. I just am in that process, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So
of like trusting
sweet.
With obedience or just being like in a place of,
like what's the point of, obedience to him versus obedience to man, you know,
because he has that power, and I want to be a part of where that power is moving.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And so just listening to him with that, and yeah,
that's good. Yeah, the word obedience I think scares people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes it sound like you're missing out on something
yep.
greater.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as like Aaron's story has taught us today that being obedient.
Right.
It has so much power, right?
Yeah.
Like, because you were being obedient every time you said yes and
yeah,
moved across the country or.
Yeah.
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 That's cool. Good job. For me, I was listening to the Blessed Is She podcast earlier, and they were like, it's been a Lenty Lent. And I was like, and they were like, I just love that terminology.
Yeah.
Lenty Lent. And they were like, we should describe more things by using the same word twice. which I thought was funny. They were like, he's a Jesus-y Jesus. Anyways, it was cute. So, but yeah, when they said that, I was like, oh, it has been a Lenty Lent. We've been, we kind of go through these cycles in my family of just attack after like spiritual hit after hit after hit. And it comes in like medical things and anxiety and fear and all these things. And so we're just in another one of those stages. So I would love prayer for my husband who's been very sick for, I've lost count how long it's been.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's solidly been sick for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And my kids who've been really sick. And so, but anyways, I kind of go through this cycle in my own mind of like, well, maybe ministry's not worth it. Maybe I need to back off because then I invite all this chaos in my family. And that's just the lie of the enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's these doubts that come into my head. And then the Lord shows up in the most like powerful way. And I was just telling them before we got on, my daughter Ella's had a really, really hard week, but God has been so faithful to her. And she has experienced him in a way that she never has in her entire life. And I feel like this is going to be that moment where she says everything changed for me
mm-hmm.
because she experienced him in such a powerful way. So the suffering leads to good. And so I sometimes feel like I live in this world of everything's falling apart and it's terrible, but also everything's wonderful and there's so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to describe that necessarily, mm-hmm. but that's just my life. And it's always been my life. Like it's just who we are as Copeland family. But yesterday I was reading through Song of Songs, because I'm going to give this talk next week on the Song of Songs. And there's the Arise, my beloved, and come away with me, that scripture, which, of course, like immediately struck to my heart. And then this morning, there's this woman that I love. What's her name? Lana Vosser.
Lana Vosser, yeah.
I love Lana Vosser. She is a prophetic, she speaks prophetically, and she's like a pastor in Australia, and she writes these amazing long prophetic words. And I send them to Kendra all the time because I'm like, she's speaking straight to us. and today was one of those days where she was like, you have been through a lot and you have felt like maybe ministry isn't the right place for you. And then she used that scripture that I read yesterday, arise, my beloved, and come to me. Do not stop fighting. And
that's awesome.
And she even went into how like we're in the battle and we're going to keep battling because the battle's already been won. So it was just this like very affirming moment of like, don't give up.
Seize the hope.
Like keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, how about you, Aaron?
That's awesome, Megan.
For me, the Lord's just been putting on my heart ministry mostly. And it's I would love some prayer from y'all and any of you just with just like that longingness to like do my own thing and keep running my business and doing that full time and being able to say yes and have a fervent yes for the Lord in that call to ministry that I'm feeling. So yeah, just wanting to run after the Lord's voice and not my own.
And maybe ministry looks different than what you have experienced in the past. Like maybe he has something different in mind for you that doesn't require you to lay that fully down.
Sure.
But there might be something different for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
That's exciting. Yeah. I'm excited for our community that you are entering into ministry again.
Yeah,
that is exciting to me too. As a mom of teenagers, as a wife of a husband. You know, I heard so many times over the weekend at our church festival that the men need more. Mm. The men need more. They need to be poured into.
Yeah.
So I'm excited that you, I'm excited to see where God takes you.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be cool.
Thanks.
Well, this was so much fun.
It was fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for
your witness.
I could just talk about the glory of God all day long. Ooh, that's the best. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we would absolutely love it if you would share it with a friend. We feel like God has put a mission on our hearts to point people to Jesus and to have hard conversations about prayer and about life and about faith and what it means to really step into allowing the Lord to guide your life. And we want other people to hear that. We don't care if they hear Kendra and I, we want them to hear Jesus. So if you wouldn't mind partnering with us and sharing this podcast with others and helping spread the mission that God has given us, we would absolutely love it. You can share on Instagram or Facebook. You can send it to a friend. You can like and review on any podcast app that you listen to. That always helps people find it. All right, guys, I hope you have a beautiful week and we'll see you next week.